I grew up in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in Des Moines, Iowa, at a place called Capitol Hill Christian Church. This is a picture of the building that I was there for the groundbreaking. It would have been in the early 1970s, maybe 72, late 60s. I know I was there for it. I seen a picture of me there. I was probably about maybe that tall. I don't know. I was. But that was also the church of my father before me, and his father before him, and his father before him, and maybe even further back than that. So my great-grandfather was an elder in the same church into which I was born and baptized. So I heard somebody say once that they were a disciple in utero, and I was too. I really didn't have a choice in the matter. That was going to be my church. That was my background, and I enjoyed it. It was always a special place for me. It's the only church I've ever known. However, there was once when a neighbor kid invited me to go to his church, a next door neighbor, and he was at the time, I think they were going to this Pentecostal church in town, and it was a church that where they bust kids in and things like that. I don't know if this was a vacation Bible school or if it was just a special one-night thing. I really don't remember that. What I do remember is that it was really exciting. I mean, there was music like I'd never heard before, and candy, and puppets, and all kinds of exciting stuff happening. And so when they asked if anybody wanted to be saved, you better believe my hand went up. Who doesn't want to be saved? And next thing I knew, I was back in the pastor's office, and I was surrounded by people, and they were asking me questions, but I didn't care. I was having a ball. Now, I don't know if that makes me Pentecostal or not. I think it might. I even think I got a new Bible out of the deal. It was a lot of fun. My parents, they did, I have to say. They were. I don't know if they knew what I was up to that night, but they were really good about making sure that I got to church and Sunday school and youth group and church camp, and I did all of those things the whole time I was growing up, and it was really important to me in a lot of ways. One of the reasons it was important to me is that I got into a lot of trouble when I was a kid. I think I would have probably been identified as ADHD now. You know, I couldn't sit still. I couldn't shut up. Once when my mom went to a teacher-parent conference, my mom suggested to the teacher that she just put me at a desk where I wasn't near any of my friends. And the teacher just looked at her and laughed and said, "David talks to everybody. It doesn't really matter where I put him." And so that was you know, that was my reality as a kid. So that was when I was little. When I got a little older, I got into kind of a different kind of trouble. And I went through this kind of awkward stage when I was in junior high. And I became a target for bullies and for teasing and stuff at school. But I also became a target of some really scary Southside bullies. I mean, these guys are probably in the penitentiary now, I would imagine. We rode these old city buses to and from school, which I can't imagine them doing this now. There was no supervision, adult supervision, and so it was kind of strange. So during those years especially, the one place where I really felt safe and loved and important and valued was at church. That's really where it was for me. Even before I knew anything about our history or what we stood for or anything about what the Christian Church Disciples of Christ was all about, I knew it was a place where I was healthy and happy. It was a happy place for me and a healthy place for me. It wasn't really until I was in college, right down the road from here, at Culver Stockton College, which, by the way, is a Disciples of Christ school. It was founded in 1853. It was the first coeducational college west of the Mississippi. A lot of people don't know that. So it was the very first school that had a formal commitment to educate young men and women together. That was different. That was really unusual at that time. And it's a disciple school. So it was really when I went there that I began to appreciate kind of the more of the background into this church into which I was born. And part of that was because of some classes I took. I took a comparative religions class, and what happened there was I realized later that what the professor was doing by looking at all of these other religions, these major religions, he was helping us to understand our own tradition a little bit better. And then when we studied the Christian Church Disciples of Christ history, I can remember afterwards saying, you know what, if I hadn't been born into this tradition, I would have chosen it. Because I really do, and I don't know if that's just the result of my training and being a part of this church, but it was all stuff that made sense to me. And one of the things I love about the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, is our emphasis on unity, even among diversity, even with differences. 200 years ago, before there was ever... anybody ever heard the word non-denominational? The founders of our church, that were, for the most part, they were men, looked around at the division. They looked at denominationalism as it was at the time, and that was all there was at the time. And they said, this is not really what God intended. This is not what Jesus intended, for there to be this kind of division and conflict, especially among Christians. And there was a lot. There was conflict and division between denominations like the Methodists and the Baptists and the Lutherans. But there was also a lot of split and division within denominations. So by the time our movement kind of emerged, it came out of Scottish Presbyterianism. By the year 1800, there were as many different kinds of Presbyterians as there were other denominations. So there was just all of this division. And the founders of our church said, that's not what God wants for us. And Alexander Campbell and Barton Stone were two of the kind of the big leaders in this movement. And Campbell and his father both, they knew what the Bible said about the body of Christ and unity, the unity of the church. And so I think it was either Alexander or his dad that said, the church of Christ upon earth is essentially, intentionally, and constitutionally one. So even though it may not look like it, and even though it may not always feel like it, we are bound together with invisible ties. Through Jesus Christ, we are one, even if we don't understand it that way. Paul addresses that in a lot of different places, but especially in 1 Corinthians, and especially in 1 Corinthians 12. The whole chapter really is about this. This is just a short section where Paul says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the same spirit. When Paul wrote those words, there was no such thing as denominations or anything like that. There were just a few churches, really a kind of a handful of churches that they started in and around Jerusalem, and they kind of spread out from there. Probably about as many churches as we have in Keokuk. I mean, that's how many churches existed at the time. So there weren't many. But it wasn't the kind of ideal situation that you might think. A lot of people have this idea that the early church was perfect. But it wasn't. There was conflict, there was division, even at the very beginning. That's why Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians in the first place, was because of the problems. And what Paul was wanting them to know was that there, even though it didn't feel like it, there was unity. He was saying, you may feel that there are differences, and there are. Some were raised in Jewish households. Some were raised pagan. Okay, so that's a huge cultural difference right there. Some were poor, some were rich, some were slaves, household slaves. Others had lots of money. There were differences in terms of spiritual gifts. Some had spiritual gifts that were really extroverted and kind of out there, and others had spiritual gifts that were quieter. Paul was saying, even though it feels like there's lots of division, and even it may not look like it, you are nonetheless one in the body of Christ. Now, the founders of our church, this movement that we're a part of, really took that idea to heart. And they said, that needs to be kind of one of our guiding principles. And so one of the slogans from those early days was, we are Christians only, but not the only Christians. In other words, there are other believers that may have different practices than us, that may, you know, may do baptism or communion differently than us, that may have very different views about this or that, but that doesn't mean that they're not Christians, or that we're not still connected in some really important way. The difficult part is showing it. A guy by the name of Michael Kinneman, he was, let me just say a word about this. This is what happens when we get to that point where we start blaming one another, and we start pointing our fingers and saying, you're not what you're supposed to be. If you were an authentic Christian, a genuine Christian, then you would believe exactly as I do. We talk about God's love and unity. But then we want to qualify it and say, but unless you believe exactly as I do, then you're not going to be one of us. If you've ever been to a church where they say that you can't take communion, have you ever been to a church where they said you're not welcome at the table here because you're not one of us? Well, you kind of get a sense of what that feels like to be on the them side of the equation. And that's, I don't think that's what God ever intended for us. The Christians in Corinth found all different kinds of things to fight about, and they got really creative about it. For instance, there were divisions based on which preacher and which teacher they liked the best. So some said, I belong to Paul. Some said, I belong to Apollos. So there was divisions about that. There were divisions about spiritual gifts. Some said, I've got better, more valuable spiritual gifts than you do. There was one division that's always been really interesting to me. There were some who believed that meat sacrificed to an idol should not be eaten. It was a sin to eat it. Okay? And those were especially those people that came out of pagan households. They felt like they couldn't do that. Others said, meat's meat. Right? Just because it was sacrificed in a pagan temple doesn't make it not meat. What's the problem? Paul said, you know what? You're going to have differences of opinion on some of these things, and that's okay. Don't worry about that. Don't let those differences get in the way of fulfilling the mission that Jesus gave you. When Christians act like that, I think it reminds me a little of a story I heard about a general that was overseeing his troops on the battlefield one day. And during a lull in the battle, he went over to a guy that was running the cannon, a young soldier that was manning this big artillery gun. And he watched as he made his calculations and as he aimed this big gun. And then when he was finished, the general went and looked through the telescope there, and he says, your aim, young man, your aim is right on. He said, unfortunately, those are our men you're aiming at and not the enemy. I think sometimes that's what happens. In the church, we've got our guns aimed in the wrong place. I believe that God has a very difficult task for us to do. He wants us to work together, and he wants us to worship together despite our differences. He wants us to manifest in our relationships with others the same love he has for us. That's what he wants us to do. So we don't spend so much time asking that question, are you one of us or one of them? Are you on the inside or on the outside? Rather, we emphasize the unity that we have in Christ, and then we invite others to become a part of it. That's what evangelism is. And we don't just invite our friends and people who are just like us. We invite strangers. And when I say stranger, I mean those people who are different than us, who have different backgrounds than us, who might think and live and have a completely different culture than us. We invite them to be a part of it because what we're wanting to do is to draw people into that circle of love and grace that we've experienced, and we want them to be a part of that too. The greatest illustration for this one of the greatest illustrations for this I've ever heard is a story that came out of World War II. Near the end of the war, there were some soldiers that had a fallen comrade that they wanted to take care of, and they wanted to see that he got a Christian burial. So they took him to this little French church, had a cemetery, and when they got there, the priest came out and started asking him some questions, and he asked him whether or not their friend had been baptized as a Roman Catholic when he was born. And they didn't know. And the priest said, "Well, I'm really sorry, but I can't allow him to be buried inside the cemetery." So, of course, they were disappointed, but there was really nothing they could do. So they took his body and they buried him just outside the fence. And that's a lot of times that's what people did back then. And so they came back the next day to put a marker on his grave. But when they got there, they couldn't find the grave. There was no sign. They looked right where they thought it should be. There was no sign of any disturbed ground at all. And so they were about ready to give up when the priest came out. And he said, "You know, I was so troubled last night by my refusal to allow your friend to be buried in the cemetery that I got up really early this morning and I moved the fence to allow him in." Human institutions, we set up all kinds of rules and regulations mainly to keep people out. That's what we do. Jesus drew a circle big enough to keep us, to bring us all in. None of us deserve that, right? I mean, that's the whole idea behind grace. None of us deserve that. But he's drawn a circle to bring us all in. What a wonderful gift that is. And of course, that's how people know that we are Christian, is by our love for each other, especially for each other, but by our love for all people. That's how they know that we belong to the one who drew that circle big enough to take us all in. And so I'm proud to be a part of a church that emphasizes that unity that we have, even despite our differences. And I'm also very proud to be a part of a church whose mission it is to be and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I have experienced the good news of God's love throughout my life, and I'm proud to be part of a church that wants to share that love with others. Let's pray. Lord, you've blessed us in so many ways. You bind us together. You bring us together with others that we might never know if it weren't for this community of faith, if it wasn't for this church. We ask that you would continue to bring us together through the power of your Spirit, that we might in turn reach out to others and become vessels and channels of that love to the world. For we ask this all in Jesus' name.